Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
4,000 views.
Oh, no, 1,000. Steady on.
I
look, you know.
I sound fucking hammered in that.
I think we're both doing.
Well, we were just after finishing a smoke, weren't we?
Why are you fucking idiots?
Wasn't even looking at it.
I know.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to series 4, episode 31. Can you believe it? Of the Ought to Know Better podcast, lads. Can you actually believe it? Series 4.
I can't believe it.
30 bloody one. I can't speak.
I can't believe it was not being cancelled.
It's only because we don't live in the same town.
Yeah, hey, we might be cancelled after the start of this show tonight. Who knows?
Yeah.
Whoever got the 8:37 start time right in OKB start time bingo. Well done. Only 7 minutes late tonight. So yeah, we've got loads and loads to get through as per. We'll run a quick intro and then we'll say our hellos and stuff.
Hi, this is Don Matteo, and then you are listening to the Ought to Know Better podcast. Let's do this.
You look like fucking Brolin, you're a Leeds hating bastard. You look like
some sort of fucking weird floating head. No.
You tentacle play it a bit, innit?
I mean, I feel a bit right, dickhead.
Nothing spectacular, really.
Good evening, fellas, and I hope you're nice and...
I'm all good,
nice,
mate.
Feeling nice and fresh after... Tuesday. We haven't done one on a Tuesday for a bit. I think because we had a couple of midweek games and things and other stuff going on. So the first one we've done on a Tuesday, I believe. First one I've certainly done on a Tuesday in a short while. But first things first, happy birthday, Jay.
Cheers, mate.
Yesterday.
Happy birthday, man.
Yeah, yesterday, yeah. Still here. Still alive somehow.
Come on,
42
year
inches
older.
Tall today. Yesterday.
That's right.
So did your brother get you anything for your birthday? Did he buy you a brake light or something?
Why would he buy me a brake light? Got plenty of them in my home scrapyard. he sent me a few quid for a couple of pints.
Nice. Yeah. That's what Can't brothers are for.
That's it.
Carl, how are you?
I'm all right. Not doing too badly. You?
Very well. Very well. Thank you for asking. I been at a bloody work event all day, and I literally left the house, and I'm not used to it. And then people are probably going to frown at this, but I don't tend to get up too early unless I've got to.
I don't.
And this morning I had to leave the house about 5:30 ish, let's say, which some people will turn their nose up and say they've already been at work for an hour or two by that time. But yeah, I had to leave the house at 6:30, and so yeah, I'm pretty tired today. Feeling a little bit sorry for myself. I'll be glad when I can get into bed and watch the end of the Gentleman series. If anyone's not started watching that yet,
I've not watched it yet.
Me bro and his missus are downstairs watching it now.
Oh,
so it's pretty good so far.
Top television. Top television.
That Kane on BBC iPlayer as well is meant to be very good.
Don't know.
Kane? Kane, yeah, yeah.
I watched like that months ago.
An Irish gangster.
You want me to watch that?
I've seen the thing for it on iPlayer.
I watch much TV, man, so...
I'm sure it was you who told me about Kane. Oh, Love Hate, maybe.
Love Hate, I told you about, yeah. Have you watched that yet? Really... That's quality.
Yes, I've watched them. I've watched them all, mate. I've watched them all. Yeah. Anyway, we're not here to...
Football and TV. Yeah. What a pod.
Yeah, we'll be getting what's that thing where they get calls into them about taking stuff off telly, where they get complaints.
Oh, like Ofcom, is it?
Ofcom, that's it. Yeah, we'll be starting an Ofcom channel soon. Anyway, yeah, first things first, we're all in a relatively good spirit, aren't we? I think, you know, we've got really good position in the table with the in-form team in Europe, I think, since the turn of the year. So yeah, lots and lots to be positive about at the minute, isn't there?
Yeah, that's what I like to hear. In form, just smashing it, man. People were saying we're in a slump.
Hey,
what? Is there any of them people still out there? Just, you know, if you're in the comments, you think we're in a slump, let me know, because I'd be interested to know what the thinking is behind that.
Yeah. I think I described it as a lull. And that was simply based on the Chelsea going out the cup to Chelsea when we played well, and then the performances at Huddersfield first of all, and then the second half versus Stoke. So I felt the performances were a little bit off. Do you think then going into sort of this week's show? Nice little segue that into the actual show. Do you think? The performance on Friday night, then. I know, Carl, you've been unspoken in some depth with Gilly about this, but Jay, do you think the performance was enhanced on Friday night, or do you think we still look pretty flat in parts?
First half, we didn't look great at all, to be honest. Neither side did, but second half, I thought we switched it on a little bit and we looked loads better. I definitely don't like. Subscribe to the idea that we're in a slump, but I could see where people are coming from if they're sort of saying the performances are not quite there. We look leggy, we look tired. By all means, yeah, I'd agree with that. But we're getting the job done still, and we keep finding a way. And we've had one tiny blip where we got a point away from home against Huddersfield. Like three goals this calendar year we've conceded. You can't be upset about that.
Three in the league, yeah. We conceded two versus versus Chelsea, didn't we? So I completely get where you're coming from, but I mean, concede three goals, and what have we scored? Something like 21 or 9,
something like that.
We scored a stupid amount of goals, basically. We're flying at the minute, so
we've absolutely bossed that goal difference.
Yeah, yeah. Win by two clear goals or more on Sunday, and we're top.
Yeah.
That is a lovely for that. Do you know what? When I shared a, I'll try and find it and get it up in a bit. I shared a graphic that Stats had shared from, after West Brom game. So after Preston, after West Brom, I think we were 17 behind Leicester point, and I think we were 9 or 10 behind Ipswich. We were in fourth at the time. I think we're even behind Southampton at this stage as well.
I saw this, yeah.
So, I mean, just the turnaround in our form. And look, people said it couldn't be done. People said it wouldn't be done. People said that, you know, Daniel Farke's out of his depth after those two games around Christmas. That he wasn't the man to take us out. And look, we've still got 9 games left. Let's not make no mistake about it. It's nowhere near done. There are still some, I would anticipate, swings and roundabouts that we're gonna sort of take place before the end of the season. I expect us potentially to drop out of the top two before the end of the season at some stage, because I don't think we're good enough. I think we could go to the end of the season unbeaten, but I still think there's it's so tight up there. So tight.
Yeah.
I was asked that question by a lad in work, and he said, how many points do you think we're going to drop between now and the end of the season? I said 4.
Drop 4?
Drop 4 points. Yeah.
So we're going to draw 2 games, you think, and win the rest.
Well, that gives us scope for maybe 1 loss and a draw, but I think only 4 games.
Then we drop 5, Carl.
Excuse me. Sorry. Yeah, 2 draws rather. My bad.
I think this is the thing you meant with the points, Luke. Is this the one?
I can't really see it. Yes. Yeah. No, I actually had the table up. I'm just trying to find it. But yeah, I mean, look at that points difference with Leeds, Championship points won. So we've won 34 points since the end of 2024. And it's incredible. I mean, there's no ways and means about it. It is simply incredible.
It is.
To have that level of, you know, we haven't even looked in parts for me. We haven't even looked all that great. Honestly.
No, that's why I would say, like, the performances have maybe not been there, but we're getting the wins.
But to be in this position and still be winning games, like as you said there, Jay, and be with the potential to go top, with obviously with Leicester would have a game in hand, but with the potential to go top, we couldn't have ever dreamt of it from this position. And I've actually found it now, so just bear with me 2 seconds. I'll get that up. Add to stage. Here we are.
There we go.
So that's that is how it stood on the 29th of December. So we were 6 points behind Southampton.
Is that where West Brom thought they were getting top two?
Yeah, we were 9 points behind Ipswich, and we were 17 points behind Leicester. And look at the goal
17.
Difference.
17.
Look at the goal difference. We were on 17 there. I think we're now plus 41 ish.
Yeah,
or plus 40-ish. Four, yeah. So
we've absolutely reeled them in.
But that's mad because they're only on 41 goals now. And that's like
that 33 then.
Yeah.
So they're only on the goal difference of plus 8, yeah.
We're on a generational run. We have to get promoted.
Has anybody ever been on such a good run? I don't know. I mean, this is probably one for the statisticians out there, but I wouldn't.
As in Leeds.
Well, obviously Leeds haven't, because we broke the record since 1930s or whatever with the most wins in a row.
I'm sure Reading and Reading have had that run as well, where they got promoted. Like,
yes.
And surely the likes of Nottingham Forest, didn't they go up from 17th under Steve Cooper? Like, so surely they went on a run like that. Like, that's
good point.
Maybe one of
I
those.
Remember Palace
went on one as well. They were like 12th or something, and they went on a mad, mad run then as well. So
they came out of nowhere.
It's that's the thing. Like, when at the start of the season, everyone was like, oh, Preston are flying. And we all knew from experience that they were going to absolutely drop off the edge of a cliff. Yeah.
There's always a side that does it.
Who was?
There is. Preston.
Preston.
Ah, right, yeah. Did they win the first six or seven games or something?
Yeah, but everyone was kind of like hyped up and everyone was like, it's like, well, no, we know how the championship works. They're going to fall off the edge of a cliff. And they did.
Mm-hmm.
And then they were taken over by, I think it was West Brom for a little while, and then Ipswich started to take over then. And you're like, this league, man, the runs you can go on define your season, and the point at which you peak with your run of games is another one that will basically tell you where you're going to finish up at the end of the season. I think at the end of the day, I think we've peaked at exactly the right time.
This is perfect. Soon, but
It's like...
But like, we have peaked. We're peaking.
It's like Fast and Furious when one of the characters uses his nos too quick and Vin Diesel goes, "Too soon, Junior."
Too soon.
I think it's the Korean guy actually that says that, but same film.
Just going back to Friday night then, Jay, you said there that you didn't feel that the first half was all that much. Did you feel, I mean, they didn't really ever look like threatening as such, I don't think, but it almost felt like we lacked a bit of creativity, would you say?
Yeah, it were a bit workmanlike. It was just sort of going through motions a bit. Nobody was standing out. Somerville was not running at anybody. Just stuff just wasn't really coming off for us. They didn't look like a threat at any point. They looked crap to me. Like, they didn't look like a side that had just won a load of games. They looked like the side that we played earlier in the season, to be honest with you. We just didn't really get going, I don't think. We were trying to do stuff and it wasn't coming off and stuff just wasn't quite working. It just did look tired. Just did look leggy.
Yeah, fair point. It certainly didn't feel to me. It felt like it was going to be very much another Huddersfield type game where we just sort of, you know, lack a bit of that creativity, lack a bit of persona, a bit of style, and we just didn't, you know, we didn't really look like we really wanted it on a Friday night, a cold Friday night in Sheffield, and it's a Yorkshire derby. Their fans were up for it, obviously, as well, because it's their biggest game of the season. Carl, what, obviously you two went, didn't you?
Yeah.
We did the shot, didn't we, outside of the ground?
Yeah. Did it feel as nervy in the stands as what potentially I as a fan watching on telly, because I'm a bugger, felt like?
I think there was that initial panic, I think, when we saw how Sheffield Wednesday started the game and they were very much on the front foot for a portion of it. And like I said on Sunday, I think once we kind of decided, all right, we're going to start playing, there was in the first half, for that final 10 minutes when we got the goal, you know, there was a lot of pressure on and we were starting to find the gaps. It was like Wednesday had kind of run out of steam and ideas just for that particular point in the game. And I thought when we did step it up a gear, I don't think we even got out of third gear in that game, to be fair, like that we weren't even at our best in that game. But to say we put them under enough pressure to break them and to score before half time, I thought that was the kind of stuff we were looking for. But up until that point, it was, I know what you mean by a bit nervy. Like, but I always knew we had enough in us to beat them personally.
Yeah, I mean, do you think they've been instructed? This might sound a little bit backward and a little counterproductive, really. But do you think Farke has got a game plan for these types of games now? Do you think actually we're going to actually try and play a little bit to their pace rather than going at them and wasting energy? Because they're not good sides. Let's be perfectly honest. Yeah. They're not good footballing teams. We probably don't need to try as hard. Do you think you might be reserving and conserving a little bit of energy for some bigger games that might be coming up? Or do you think he's actually you've just at this stage of the season, you've just got to win every game, whether that's playing 100 mile an hour or 10 mile an hour?
I think a lot to do with it is, you make a good point, maybe it's for the bigger teams, but I think he's actually learned over the last couple of games, couple of months, where he's come up against teams like Wednesday on a regular basis, and we've struggled to break them down in places when we've gone full on. So I think he's tactically shown a lot of confidence in the defence to be able to potentially sort of go, well, this is how I want us to play at the moment. We're going to press a little bit, but we're not going to press the extreme. We'll let them have the ball, let them kind of into the game a bit. But then once we get to a certain point, perhaps, 10 minutes of just absolutely hammering at them before the break and get your goal, and then potentially just start to up the gears a little bit. But like I said, I don't think they got out of third gear really in that second half when we started to dominate the game, you know?
Yeah, and I mean, we're the makers of our own downfall earlier in the season, because when we took the foot off the gas versus Rotherham at home, Chef Wednesday at home actually almost beat us. You know, if it wasn't for the great right back in Jed Spence that we had at the time, we would have probably conceded a goal there. And look, that's the only thing he ever did in a Leeds shirt, but there's no... It was just a thought that came into my head. I don't for 1 minute believe that these professional footballers don't go into every game to absolutely annihilate the opposition. They've got a game plan, albeit for every game. We play a particular style, yes. But I don't think for 1 minute. But we are starting to look a little bit leggy in certain parts of the field. And somebody just asked, Ripper just mentioned there, this small break has come at a good time for us, and arguably the international break as well, because I think it's a good time and a good stage. Or is it a good time? That's a good debate to have. Is it a good time when we're on such a great run and all these teams are dropping points? Would we prefer to keep that running, or do you think actually a good reset, a bit of fitness and a bit of a break might, I mean, it's not going to be a massive break, because the majority of our best players are going to be playing international football anyway. So is it a good time for a break?
Jay? While Jay answers this, you do a poll.
Okay, I'll do a poll.
Okay, Jay, well, you go ahead.
Are you not capable of that yet? Is that too? Is that beyond you?
I had not logged into
that. Is that beneath you?
It's got his limits.
I'm not, logged into.
He's limited.
Fuck off.
We managed to get a picture. He managed a picture in the brand last week. Next week, he'll be writing code and everything.
He will have a banner going along bottom.
Yeah, well, look, I'm not logged into the pod account on YouTube, so yeah.
All right, Luke will do it. Going back to the question, what were we even bloody saying? International break, is it a good time? Yeah, I think so. I think so. I think looking at recent performances, it's clear we do need some rest, and I'm really happy that we've got this 9 days from the Wednesday game to the Millwall game as well, because that. We should be able to come out of the blocks for that game, I reckon. You know, we should be pretty refreshed. You're going to have that. Give it a big effort for Millwall. Then you get another rest the week after, unless obviously you're playing at Nationals. But even then, you probably won't play a full 90 minutes if it's... Is it friendlies or is it Euro qualifiers?
No, Euro qualifiers are done. Is it playoffs?
I can't remember what... I don't pay much attention.
I don't care about
it's
international football.
Now.
I honestly don't care for it.
I don't.
Until England get to a later stage, a quarter, maybe second round out the, you know what I mean? That's when I start to pay attention. I don't really care for international football.
I watch tournaments, but yeah, I'm not bothered anymore for watching odd games, friendlies and fucking qualifiers. But anyway, I think the rest is going to be a welcome thing. And it's probably the first time in years I've been happy to see an international break, if I'm honest. Although that could all change if we have a bad result against Millwall. Probably won't want to see it.
Or if Joe Rodon gets injured, or if Ampadu gets injured playing for Wales.
Well, yeah, obviously,
Do you know what I mean? There's so many reasons for me that... I mean, I don't agree with international breaks anyway. I don't like them. I don't think... I understand them, and I understand if there's qualifying going on, but if they're for nothing, it's almost a waste of time for me because, look, you've got players that are getting paid by their club to go and work towards either. It could be one of the many things. It could be promotion. It can be, you know, if you're in the Premier League, it could potentially be Europe. It could be the difference between staying in the league and being relegated. Yeah. You know, there's so much riding on football these days in terms of a monetary value that actually taking these players out during a season, I think, is just... I don't know.
It is mad when you've got teams relying on players and then have them taken out of their hands and can't replace them through no fault of their own. It is really bad, that.
I mean, who are we losing? We're losing Kamara's going with Finland. We're losing all the Welsh lads and Junior Firpo.
Oh, yeah, he's off to play for Dominican, isn't he?
What about Archie for the under-20s? Is he going out?
I don't know if they're playing.
Cooper's been included as well, Mark Wright. Well said, well remembered.
Bloody hell.
For Scotland. But he's not been doing much for us, really, has he? And I don't think he'll probably get much time on the field for Scotland. He'll just be going up there. But, for me, bad timing. 9 games left. Why not just wait till the end of the season? 9 games.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Do you think
we've seen that we can fit international stuff in when we have to in the pre-season?
I feel it's actually come at a good time because a point you made, Luke, we've looked kind of leggy recently. I think it's a good opportunity to kind of for the fringe players to get a bit more time in their legs on the training ground, perhaps. Then when they come back in, then I think it's actually all right. You know, for me, it is anyway. I think it's a grand break. It's a shame that there's so many bloody going out, but...
Mm. Yeah. Well, I think it's a good break too. It's just like, as Luke said, if someone does then get injured, that changes, doesn't it? It's not a good break anymore. Yeah. It's fucking terrible.
Yeah, that's the negative side of it, all right, yeah.
That's the risk, isn't it? You just don't know what's going to happen. That's a problem.
Yeah.
Steve Brown said Bulgaria have got games as well, so that might mean Grueb. When I'm speaking of leggy players, they're two of the players, Kamara and Gruev, that I feel have been leggy and started to look for the heat and the pace of the season. They've not been in a marathon season like the Championship before. And let's be honest, since they've come in, they've played a massive, massive part. So, look, I think one of the positives to take out of it is that the majority might get a bit of a break. But then there again, the majority who probably need a break aren't going to get that break, and they're going to be playing for a different side that's not going to be benefiting us. So
and the travel as well.
The reason I'm not too worried about it. Obviously, Gilly kind of manoeuvred his way around chatting about it on the BNC, but with Ampadu only playing at centre back, obviously he's doing a bit of running, but he's not doing half the running he would have normally done in midfield. If the boys come back a bit leggy, you can just stick Archie and Ampadu in there and put Strike back in. Like or, you know, something along them lines. I'm not saying don't.
We've got options, is what you're
take
saying.
Aim I, and,
wait till Gilly is. You've said that.
I know, yeah, and
he'll go mad.
Ugh, fuck it. but I think, like, I'm not too worried. Like you said there, Luke, it's, we do have options, and I think at least we have those options to be able to slot in. And let's be honest, Strike wasn't playing bad when he was in there. He'd scored a goal, taken a penalty. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, it's a lot to ask to come back in and be straight up to speed, though. And that break is where that will benefit us. He'll have time with, you know, getting his fitness back up and going through the motions and everything. Yeah. Right then. So back quickly round up on Chef Wednesday. I mean, it was all in all a professional performance. You look, we took 2 points, 3 points with 2 goals, 2 points. How long ago did we be playing? Two goals, 3 points. And some of us expected that, Jay, didn't we? Let's have a look. Why don't we? I think Gilly's sent him over to you this week.
Yes,
so
yeah.
Why don't we have a little bit of an update?
Auto no better predictions.
Right then, yeah. So the old predictions league, it's hotting up a little bit now, and you can always tell when Luke's done all right because he's always really enthusiastic about it. So what's happened this week?
It's there with a grin.
I know. So the table as it stood before the game was the fans at the bottom on 27, Carl on 34, Luke on 38, me on 40. I was going to read Jay out then rather than my own name. Bren on 40, Smarty on 41, and Gilly on 43. So for the last game, the predictions were Gilly 3-1, he gets 3 points. Fans went 2-1 via friend of the pod, Paul Brennan. Smarty went 1-0 leads, got a point. Luke went 2-0 leads and got 5 points. Cal went 2-1 leads and got 1 point. I went 4-1 leads and got 1 point. Bren went 2-0 leads and got 5 points. I will just say, by the way, I was going to go 2-0, but because you'd said it first, I didn't want to take the same thing. So I've done myself that. I'd have been better just
piss
doing
off.
It.
Piss off.
I've had about four great results this season. You can rely on me. So moving on. The uprated standings. Updated. Fans are bottom on 28 now. Carl is next on 35. I'm next on 41. Smarty on 42. Luke on 43, little surge up the table there for you. Bren on 45, and Gilly is still top on 46. And you know we've got to stop him because we'll never be allowed to forget it if he wins. So yeah, it's so tight.
You know what,
there's 5 points between the top five there. So one correct result could upset all that.
I believe Gilly in that. I think he's relatively trustworthy, but he does the predictions. So if he wins it, well, I'm going to actually ask him to go through the whole spreadsheet and see it word for word. Because sometimes you don't even see his prediction. Sometimes he doesn't tell us because we're just expecting just to put him in.
He's fiddling the system.
Yeah, he's
do you think is he game in the system? I don't think he's game in the system.
That's a big accusation, isn't it, Jay?
I don't think he is.
I don't think he is.
Anyway.
He hasn't done so far because, you know, he still hasn't won it.
No, to be fair, he won't do that because he won't get the satisfaction out of it if he wins it that he would if he's messed with it. You've seen, like, you know what he's like. He wants to win it.
He'll win it the right way.
He will.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I mean, I'm quite happy, obviously, with this week's predictions because it's taken me from third bottom to third, I think, or something like that. I don't know exactly. But just really quickly, I just wanted to ask we didn't cover it. That was all really, really quickly on the Chef Wednesday thing. Who was the man of the match for you guys?
I think I said Melia. Yeah,
there you go.
Yeah,
he had a good game.
There's that 2 week running with Melier.
I think so.
Well, it was a toss up between Melier and Ampadu from last week, wasn't it?
It is for me.
And this week,
but I think Melier. Well, they kind of covered each other, didn't they? Melier made that good save in the first half, and then he couldn't hold the ball for the save in the second half, and Ampadu cleared off the line. So, yeah, they've done each other favors there. So. Swings and roundabouts for me.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Philip Anderson says now. Points deduction. Has he broken profit and sustainability rules? I think he probably has. Let's take 10 points off him.
Let's do it.
Minus 10.
Give him 4 back, and then probably take some more off him.
We'll do a live special where we do a kangaroo court and we try him and find him guilty. I mean, give him a fair trial.
Yes, Jamie, you're right. Not long until it is nice weather, and Luke will be back in his vest because I'm back in the gym. I'm training hard again, so I'll be happy to show my shoulders off. Love my shoulders.
I do, mate. I do.
Well, I was like this in the peacock just behind me.
They're my favourite shoulders.
Right then, now on to everyone's. The only reason everyone really tunes in this into see this since we started doing it, and it's just to hear Brendan's dulcet tones.
Hey, oh, has got a shit tick this week, my little spatter fact.
Yeah, so this is the part of the podcast or the weekly show where we put a number of potential shit takes to you guys as watchers and listeners to decide which we think deserves the shit take of the week award. And I think, Jay, you've got a couple of them loaded up.
I've got some air for us, yeah. Got some air. So the first one we're going to go with, Sheffield Wednesday. They put a statement out about being disappointed to report that they were under FA investigation once again. And someone's replied, look at the behaviour of the Leeds players during the game, purposely provoking the crowd and the goalkeeper, especially going out of his way to taunt fans. I mean, that sounds like sour grapes to me.
I mean,
it's a bit of an outrageous take, that. Like,
I mean, if I threw pool balls and flares every time a keeper taunted the south stand, I would probably be banned for a long, long time.
You'd be locked up.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Ramsdale was the worst for it, wasn't he, when we were in the Premier League? He absolutely used to ruin us, didn't he? And who was the other one? Who was it? Ben Foster, whenever he used to do it. GoPro in the net, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, come on, it's not a great excuse. Oh, we threw flares and snooker balls at you because you were taunting our goalkeeper. I mean, was taunting them, sorry.
They're all shouting shit at him for 90 minutes, but like he's apparently taunted them. What's he done? Like waved at him or something?
Yeah.
Well, like the thing is, Vardy, when he got that equaliser for Leicester, he went over and he was proper in the faces of the Hull fans. And you're like, well, that's aggravating, but I don't see any pool balls flying in there. Like,
Ramsdale got a tip.
Yeah, he did, didn't he? He got a quid.
Yeah, he got a few quid. Garnacho once got one of his vapes.
Fair play to him.
He did, yeah. I remember that.
So that's the first shit take of the week. Shit take number one is Wendy's fans.
Shit take number two is here already. And it is this guy saying, the Leeds fans saying Rodon are the equivalent of the Bayern fans currently calling Eric Dier their best CB when the second tier podcast asked who's the best centre-back in the Championship. And that guy is claiming to be a Leeds fan. He can't be.
He's a controversial Leeds fan. I do have some run-ins with Jack LUFC 1919. He is relatively controversial. And he's got a real loving, and look, rightly so, because we can have both. Both can be good players, but he's got a real loving for Pascal Stroik. And he adores Pascal. And look, with every reason and right, because he's been fantastic until he got injured for us this season. Mm. Now, obviously, since then, Joe Rodon has been our best player, or one of our best players.
Absolutely.
Mr. Consistent. Is he a bit of a utensil player, isn't
he? He is.
I think what Jack's trying to say is Stroik is still the best centre back in the championship. Now, based on current form, that just simply isn't true. And he's trying to make himself look a little bit more controversial by saying Bayern fans say Dier's their best centre back. And so yeah, that's the second option for shit take of the week, and it's a controversial Leeds view on Joey Rodon.
It certainly is. And then the final one's one I decided we should also include, where Carl's had a run in with somebody. And I think, is this one of the Americans, Carl?
Yeah, it is.
He said, what the hell are you on? Go look at the data. Adams, as in Tyler, is a borderline elite passer on top of everything else. And Carl said to him, I know enough about football to see with my own eyes that data isn't going to show any improvement on what I've said previously. Maybe too much data is skewing your ability to understand the game and the players properly. Well done, Carl. You got him.
Thanks.
Who thinks that Tyler Adams is an elite passer? He's passing one of the worst things about him.
Yeah. His breaking up of play was his game, wasn't it? It was breaking up.
It was.
And short passing and get some sort of momentum moving. But no, I don't think he was ever known for being an elite passer, shall we say. I mean, he's on top
of everything else.
Yeah, I mean, let's run another poll. Just really quickly, the other poll has ended with the majority saying, almost 78% saying that the international break is a good time for us. So I'll just stick another poll in as we're discussing those. So, Carl, which would be...
We're always watching Ian. Jesus, I have to watch what I tweet. Just don't tweet any shit take of the week, Ian. You'll be fine.
We're always watching.
Sorry, what were you going to say, Luke?
Which is your shit? Which would you vote for and why?
Well, not just because I said it, but that guy and two of his mates. I stopped talking to them because, quite frankly, I don't entertain idiots anymore because you never win an argument with an idiot. Like, so I don't entertain it anymore with some of them. But they kept going for ages and ages, and I kept doing it, and they kept showing each other data. And I was like, that means nothing. I've watched it. I've seen it. He cannot pass the ball. Like Luke said, he exerts all his energy winning the ball back after he makes a terrible pass to then win it back again.
Then passes it back to the other team.
And it's like, there's a reason we think he's good at battling and getting the ball back. It's because he keeps giving it fucking away. So they went down for ages. But I think the Rodon one for me is, I know what you're saying about him loving Strike, and Strike has had a good season, whatever. But to say that you can't praise Rodon in you know, the sense that he's the best centre back currently playing in the Championship. How's that?
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Absolutely.
That way you're not slamming Pascal, apparently. So
I'd almost include, I would say we've probably got the three best centre backs in the league, and one of them's a central midfielder.
Yeah. Go that far.
Yeah.
And whether or not he's actually a really good centre back or they just play so well together is a different conversation to have. And I think Gilly had a bit of fun with this earlier on in the week with some, believe it or not, some other Leeds fans. So, Jay, your favourite of those? Your biggest?
I'm going to go for the Chef Weds. I'm going to go for the Wednesday one. I'm going to go for that just because I were there and it's ridiculous. It's just so ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like the other guy, I can get his views slightly coloured by the fact that he favours a certain player, so I can kind of understand it, even though he's wildly wrong. But yeah, there's no justification for throwing crap at players, is there? Like, you know, deep down, people do it, but to blame it on the player is stupid. To blame it on the player, who at most is gonna wave at you or something, or pull a face, because they can't do all else, because they'll get done for it. So. Yeah, it's a bit weird.
Yeah, have you seen? Mm-hmm. Did you see this? So one of the Leeds fans put up a picture of the number 9 ball that was from the Chef Wednesday hand and said, "Thanks for giving me the tip on the first scorer," which is obviously Paddy's number, which I thought was absolutely class. really
brilliant. Good. I like that.
The poll is up, and we'll let that run to the end of tonight. It's really close, by the way. Wendy's at 46, Rodon Hater at 29. And Tyler Perlow-Adams at 25%. So, yeah, we're pretty, it's pretty tight this week. We've got 24 votes with 88 of you watching. So get that up. And there's also loads watching through X who can't vote. So if you do want to vote, come and follow us and subscribe to us on YouTube. And don't forget to hit a like. All right. What do we normally talk about next?
I don't know, but I've just noticed that Propaganda's just come out for this week, so I'm going to have a listen to that later.
All right, yeah, so go give that a listen, because that will be pretty
close. That'll be mint.
Oh, that'll be mint. One thing I just wanted to add, actually, to the shit take of the week is Huddersfield owners.
Oh.
I haven't watched it. So what's actually happened?
Let me find it, and I will actually play the video because it is that good. But yeah, essentially what's happened is the Huddersfield owner, and this guy I've never heard of until recently, Dave Carmichael, I think his name is, or David Carmichael, Carmichael Dave. He seems to do a lot of sort of podcast type things out in America, and he's interviewing Kevin Nagle. Anyway, I will play. This is an interview after they've played us, after they've been beaten twice, by the way. So I've found it. Let me just get my screen sorted, and I will share that with you. Just let me know if you can hear it, lads.
Go on.
And this is just a snippet of that said interview. So let's add that stage.
I think you have too. With the rivalry with the other club to the east is, we found out during the Derby week. You know, it's like they said quite a bit how much they didn't care about Huddersfield Town and how irrelevant they were. But judging by your social media mentions and my social media mentions, I guess there's a disconnect translation-wise, because in England, I guess not caring about something means you tweet all day about it.
I don't know what to say. You know, I just figured that maybe the fans of Leeds have a lot of free time. But, you know, thank you for watching our social media. I know that they're sort of they're relishing what's going on right now. But, hey, I'll say to those fans that are watching from Leeds right now, have fun. Enjoy it now, because it's not going to always be the same. It's not going to always be like this.
I think you have, too, with the rivalry with the other club.
There we go. Jesus Christ. So this guy rocks around looking like Fritzl. He doesn't understand reciprocal pricing, and now he's trying to dish out digs and warnings to us.
But I brought this back up, and it almost...
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Just resurrected Huddersfield fans and the conversations we were having before the game, and they genuinely believe that I care about them. Now, it's not, had their owner not posted something about LDS before the game, you reap what you sow. If you're willing
nobody
to
watch it,
if you're trying to strum up some sort of look, it's a Yorkshire derby, nothing less and nothing. A West Yorkshire derby is nothing less, nothing more for them. To us, sorry, for them, it clearly is. It clearly is. This is their owner talking about Leeds fans on Twitter after losing two games, after beating us. I say beating loosely because that's how they've interpreted that 1-1 draw at their place.
So what he's saying basically is that he's sat there after the game, going through Twitter. He's sat there reading everything. And he's trying to make out that we're saddos for tweeting. He's sat there and obviously read every single one of them. He's a lunatic, that guy. Nothing's going to change. The stadium's crap. It's got no atmosphere. Wind blows through it like it's
got
a
no fans.
Tunnel. Yeah. You know.
Come on, Wednesday.
They fucking hell. They also it's Barnes, what she said. They also think that calling us beasting is some sort of insult and that we didn't get upset about it. Which I only found out in recent times. I never realised they called us that until recently. And it's just like, it's bizarre to me. It's like, that's where the stadium is,
Well, that's where it look. If they the fact that he says it won't be like this forever. Yeah, you're quite right because there's a good chance there'll be two leagues between us next season.
There's a good chance they'll never play us again.
Yeah. Anyway, I would love. You know what? I've never really cared about them, but just simply for their dickhead fans online, I would love them to get relegated. Now, I wouldn't have even cared before. Yeah. You know, I wouldn't have cared if who got relegated and why. But I'd quite happy see them go down now, just for being dog botherers, really.
So, hey, the amount of tweets he's going to get
my receipts are this thick at the minute. I've got a receipt stack that thick of bookmarks.
It's
going to
be
ready.
Ace if we go up. Ready. It's going to be ace. Honestly, go down.
Yeah. Either or. Yeah. There's plenty there. Moving on then. We're at home, actually. We're at home on Sunday to Neil Harris's Millwall.
We are.
Don't have great memories of playing Neil Harris sides. Yeah, it's probably one of the biggest potential banana skins, having not lost at home all season. He's taken over. I think they're unbeaten in 4 or 5 now since he's taken over. We obviously went down there and spanked him at the Den when we had the Zebedee Bop or whatever he was called. You know, the bouncing guy in the stands.
Oh, yeah.
And everyone was putting music
to it. I hope he's coming.
Yeah. In terms of lineups, obviously we can't really look past anything that we've already seen. I don't expect many, if any, changes. Do you?
Oh, lovely, Carl. Cheers.
Sorry, I'm burping down just the microphone.
Sorry, I thought I pressed mute on my mic.
You're fired. I felt play your shit and get out.
Like, Jay, can you go back and clip that really quickly and put it back in?
I wish I could. I don't have the facility to do that.
All right, that'd be great ending to the show. Just Cal,
I'm gonna have to
down.
Get set up for that. I'll get set up to record while we broadcast.
You can do it on your phone. You can I could go back and do it now on my mobile and clip it really quickly.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, do it.
I'm not good enough. But yeah,
you could put that Neil in next Harris... season's intro.
Yeah, Neil Harris's Millwall. Then, not doing great, but obviously had a bit of a resurgence since he's come in. How do you expect it to go then, Pod Dodger?
I expect it to go as we all expect it to go. I think we're just going to absolutely hockey them. I think
Ian's got it spot on there.
They will waste time from minute one. Players will spend loads of time laying on the floor. Yeah, he's probably right, but I still think we're going to hockey them. I think the Neil Harris hoodoo, whatever you want to call it, that's from the old squad. That's from the old Leeds United. There's no one in this squad that's experienced that fictitious hoodoo that people seem to have with Neil Harris. Psychologically, this is just like, they don't need to. They don't need to worry about that. It's just Neil Harris. There's nothing there. For me, I think that squad now doesn't even go into that thinking who the manager is. Previously, perhaps. But not this squad. There's no one there that was ever even around when he was managing Millwall last and all that. So,
yeah.
I'm not fazed by that at all. Yeah, I'm not fazed by it at all.
Jay?
I'm slightly worried, as I am every game, about a potential banana skin, because you always think how long can such a good run go on. But I don't see any reason why we can't continue against these. I'm fairly confident, as as I dare get. You know, I think that we're going to score a few passes and I think it'll be business as usual. I think that they're going to come and do their bullshit, like what Ian said. But, you know, they'll have a way end full of right-said Fred lookalikes. And it's just, they're a garbage club. They're a garbage side. They're going to come and waste time. The keeper's going to hold onto the ball every opportunity he gets and not get booked till 89th minute. And we know how it goes, but like Carl said, I think we'll have too much for him. I think we'll go at him. And I think that, as we were talking about earlier, about like the right sort of tactics to play those kinds of teams, I think we'll be all right. I think we might get bits of play where we're just passing between the back four for a frustrating amount of time. But I think we'll create the openings and I think that we'll have a good showing.
Yeah, just to put a bit of perspective on it, In the if we're looking at the form guide over the last four games, I mean, it's a, I mean, it's a small sample size. We're actually second in the form table because Cardiff won like their last four, and Millwall are third. They've had the same record as us. They've won three and drawn one. Goal difference of plus three. So it's our goal difference is only is the same record, but goal difference of plus five.
Well, Wednesday had won four in a row.
Yeah, good point.
Sorry,
correct me if I'm wrong. Didn't we come from 2-0 down to beat them 3-2 last time we played them at Elland Road under Bielsa? Because I recall a Millwall fan doing his vlog post match in a Chinese somewhere, and he couldn't believe how we just turned it round. I think that might be the game. You know, that would be about four years ago. Like,
you could well be right, mate. My memory is nothing less than shit. If I'm honest with you, I remember bad stuff, but then I forget little things like to.
Yeah, I do.
Clip my toenails and that. You know what I mean? but yeah, I think I think we'll be far too strong for him, especially if they do try and come and play a bit of football. Because I mean, we know that's not in Neil Harris's DNA. We know they're going to be shit housing. It's going to be frustrating at times because they're going to be time wasting from the first whistle. But I think if we can get an early goal, that puts them. They have to come on the front foot. They have to come and try and get something. Then if we can get an early goal, I think it's a completely different game. And we absolutely, what did you call it? Baseball them?
He said hockey them.
Hockey them.
Hockey them off the park.
Hockey them, yeah. So, yes.
Just before you move on, I can't tell where you're going. We've spent this season breaking hoodoos. That's what we've done. We beat Wednesday after they had this four-game unbeaten run. They're on a high. We'll beat Millwall. We've won in an away shirt or third kit or whatever. We've won midweek away games. You know, we've been breaking all kinds of hoodoos, and it's just one of them seasons, isn't it? We're doing everything that we can. I just hope we carry it on, and I can't see why we won't.
Yeah.
No, I mean,
this is a different lead side. It's got steel.
With the added value and the possibility of actually going top of the league for the first time in the season, I don't think we were ever top. We have never been top this whole season. And that piles pressure on Leicester to have to win or get a result. That piles pressure on your Ipswich and Southampton as well.
You're chasing.
It's a good job. Yeah, absolutely.
You drop points, you fall away.
Exactly. It's much better to have points on the board than games in hand for me.
Always.
So that's an added. That's a real added incentive for me for us to have the opportunity to go top of the table this season. And who would have thought that when we look back at that table that I shared, the turn of the year, the 29th of December, when we were 17 points behind Leicester, 17. Mm. That's six. Mm. That's six wins and the other team losing six, and that's in a total of 12 games, I think, or 13 games.
And this weekend we could be top at table.
And this weekend we could go top.
Yeah, madness. We've got to do it. We've got to take this chance.
Well, like, I don't think it's going to be like the first season under Bielsa this time. I really don't. I said for quite a while now we'll be 4 points clear on the final day.
I'd love it. Imagine being able to go to that game. Oh, imagine!
But do you know what happens? When you put stuff out there, generally it comes back. You know,
did you put out what you
want to get back? Huh?
Did he fuck?
Did I put a bet on?
Yeah.
No, I don't bet on Leeds.
Oh man! Imagine putting a bet on Leeds to win title when they were 17 behind. Imagine.
I had a bet on us when we had a slight resurgence, and I think I don't remember exactly at what stage it was, but I had a bet, and we were 13-2 to win the league. I had 20 quid, so I'm set to win, if we do win the league, 150 quid. But I'd quite happily finish second and lose that 150 quid. You know what I mean? I'm not that arsed about 100. It's certainly exciting, and it's a nice place to be. And with that in mind, then, and we all expect a relatively strong result. How do you see it lining up this week between us? Let's try and pluck a team. Do we see Archie Gray starting at right back? Is probably the first question.
Yeah. I think probably, but he should start in midfield for me this weekend.
I think we should take Kamara out.
I love Connor Roberts, man. He's great.
I love Connor Roberts. Yeah. Have you seen the video that he does with his missus?
Yeah.
You've not seen it, right? Let me find out while you're talking about this team then. So
with his World War II tash.
Yeah,
we're going to start with, I assume, with Ampadu and Rodon still at centre-back. And
absolutely.
Who's your starting left-back this weekend against Millwall? Lewis Jr. or Sam Byram?
I'd go with Byram, you know, because I think Millwall will be too gritty for Firpo.
I was kind of thinking that myself, and I think...
But you don't really want to make changes, do you?
Byram, he doesn't, but the thing is, Byram is probably your best bet for that game, and that's no slight on Firpo, even though he hasn't been great, but he's got a couple of assists recently as well and whatnot. I think Firpo and Kamara to come out, great going to midfield, Roberts at right back. Byram at left back, the two boys.
Is that not too many changes? Do you not think that's too many changes when we've been playing and winning?
Potentially.
No, I don't think so, because Roberts has been coming in anyway. So he's settled into the team. He's settled into the squad. He's done all he needs to do now, you know.
You've got to make some changes at some points when it gets to the running, haven't you? You've got to rotate at least a bit.
He's been rotating enough, and he's been right, hasn't it? Look, we've been everything this certainly since the turn of the year has been nothing less than spot on.
If he goes with Firpo, I'll not be offended.
And actually hasn't played a game in midfield in the Championship this year.
No, that's a good point. Moved into midfield though during the game.
He's moved into midfield a couple of times, but he's not started in midfield once. He played against Chelsea in midfield.
It means this calendar year, though, don't you?
This calendar year, not this season.
Oh, excuse me, right? Yeah, I was going to go.
You looking confused.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think Byram or Firpo, it will be one of those two, obviously. I still think Archie Gray starts at right back.
I think he probably does. I just don't think he should. I think we should give Roberts a go.
But the reason why we should give Roberts a go. Yeah, just before we do move on, the reason why we should give Conor Roberts, as well as him being a great footballer, is on Mother's Day, he put a picture of him and his wife, I'm guessing, or his girlfriend, and he said, to the best mum in the world, and he called her Sherbet Nips. Why? I don't know. I'm sure we'll never find out why he calls her Sherbet Nips. Well, probably Sherbet, Carl, I would imagine.
I would have thought so, yeah. Otherwise, they called the licorice.
But anyway, here's a video that's been shared. Here's a video that's been shared by his missus, whether it's his wife or girlfriend, I'm not sure. But this is the type of player we are dealing with. And I for one, love it.
Yeah.
Standing in a crowded room and I can't see your face. Put your arms around me, tell me everything's okay. Put your arms around me, tell me everything's okay.
That's what we're dealing with. That's what, and look, it just proves to you, doesn't it, that these guys are genuinely decent human beings and like down to earth and human.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Just you know what I mean? I said that last week, like he came on and when he missed that, he had a snapshot from the edge of the box, and when he missed, he looked around and he just went, "You bastard!" You've seen him on the camera saying, "You bastard!" And I just love that about it. Like he just gets, and he's just slotted in like he's been here for years, hasn't he? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it just feels somebody like mentioned
earlier in the chat about do you remember me giving them shit about us losing leaders when we let Ayling go? But I think arguably we've brought in somebody just as good. As not just a better footballer, but he's probably joined that. He's probably naturally a leader. He's got that experience. You know, he's been here and he's done this promseason all over.
He's always talking.
It was Championship Team of the Year. Yeah, You watch him, yeah. So, whilst I probably did say that, but we hadn't brought Conor Roberts in at that stage. So, yeah, absolutely love him. Right, let's flicker through. We haven't been through many comments tonight, so I'm going to...
Are we not bothering with wingers? And
yeah, we'll finish the team. Ampadu and... Gruev and Kamara in midfield, I expect, because that's not going to change anytime soon.
Probably,
Somerville left, Rutter middle, Bamford top. Who plays on the right?
I'd rest Somerville.
Pick of the team, what we think he's going to play, Jay, not what you do.
All right, okay, all right.
Who's going to start on the right? Dan James or Willie?
I think he starts Dan James.
Oh, split. So I've got the deciding casting vote here. I think he will go with Willie as well. I think he'll bring Dan James and Robertson at the same time again as a bit of an impact on down that right side. So,
Maybe so.
Yeah.
There you go. There's your team. There's no point watching now. Saturday, we win 4-1 as well.
Did you decide it were Bamford then? Did we mention
obviously, it's going to be Bamford.
Just one thing before we move on. I saw a quote from Roberts, basically, in an interview. He said he was delighted to arrive at Leeds United because it was the first proper big club he's ever played for.
Yeah,
nice. I'm telling you, there's no better way to endear yourself to a new fan base than saying something like that. I had to laugh and give it to him for that.
And no better way to engineer a move than to burn your bridges.
Yeah.
Here's one. If we get promoted, are we all game for this?
That's game season, we know. Oh, yeah.
I'll do it.
I'll do it.
Everything. Just have a little pencil tash here.
Yeah.
It's the only part of a fucking beard that I can actually grow half decent. So I'll do it, yeah.
So for the Southampton game, we'll all go with pencil tashes.
We'll all do it. Clean shaven, but for that.
We've just got to run this past Gilly and Smarty, but I'm sure they'll be game.
Well, it's majority vote now, isn't it? It's 3-2, so they're in.
Yeah, they're in for it.
Got to think of Bren as well, like.
Yeah, and Bren.
I'd love to see Smarty shave his beard off and have a little tash.
Good question from Skip here. Would you sign Roberts Perm in the summer? I think I would, regardless of what division we're in.
Yes. But get another right back.
Yes.
Because Archie's going to be playing in midfield. We're not putting Archie at right back again. Not in the Premier League.
We're fixed football again.
I don't know, man.
What, Luke? You're not convinced? What?
I'm convinced that I would sign him, but I don't know if I'd be convinced about buying another right back. I don't think that'd be a key area. Given how Archie's taken to this league, and I think Archie will be. I mean, look, he's a great midfielder. I'm not denying, but I think that we would probably be happy with Conor Roberts and Archie Gray as our right-backs going to the Premier League, if we got promoted.
When we get promoted, right, Archie has to play in midfield. Has to.
He's just played a full season at right-back and probably going to get Championship Team of the Year at right-back.
I don't care. Right? At the moment, no slide on Gruev or Ampadu. But we lose the impetus of going forward with the ball really quickly when Archie's not in midfield. Ampadu or Gruev for that goal against Blackburn,
where it was first time outside of the boot. We've just been bigging up how great 24 we've had, right? And those two have played in there every game.
But I'm saying, I think Archie is the midfielder that we need in there. Anyone else needs to work to get in beside him, in my opinion.
And what if,
why would you have three right backs?
What three right backs have we got?
Well, I'm saying if we sign Conor Roberts,
yeah,
and Archie Gray's probably going to get the Championship Team of the Year as a right back,
yeah,
you're now telling me that we need another,
but he's a midfielder, right,
so what sort of level of right back are we going for here? I'm somebody who's better than Archie Gray at right back,
well, yeah.
And how much do you think we're going to pay for somebody who's better than Archie Gray at right back?
San Francisco.
Realistically, I'm being serious with you here. I'm trying to be sensible.
30,
I'm trying to be
35 million.
I'm trying to be realistic.
30, 35 million. You get it.
You think that's one of the key areas we need to strengthen?
I'm not saying it's a key area, but if you want to see Archie Gray playing in midfield and not hampered by going, oh, well, Roberts is out, now he plays at right back. What if he's playing absolutely blinding stuff up to Christmas in midfield, and then Roberts gets injured, and we have to Archie played.
That's
well
all
right
ifs and
back.
Buts. And we could have said that this season. We could have said, what if Roberts got injured now?
Got Byron there at the moment.
Oh, good point, Byron. So, and we've got Shaq as well. So, yeah, maybe. Maybe we might. So, yeah, with that in mind, with Shaq and Byron probably not going to be good enough for Premier League or even backup. So, maybe if we let those two go, I might consider it, Cal. You might have twisted my arm.
Well, unless Byron does enough to earn himself another contract, and I think from what I was reading today, Shaq is out of contract in the summer, and it doesn't look like he's going to be offered another contract. So, maybe we do need another right back just to be on the safe side. Like, we can't really trust Byron in the Premier League. Has
been playing left back?
Don't know.
No, he hasn't. That Manning's been playing left back for a money for Southampton. But say he's not going to get in the team over Pereira, have you seen how many goals they've conceded compared to us? How can people tell me this? How can you try and tell me that Pereira is a better player at right back than Archie Gray? When we've just been talking about how good our defensive record is this season.
See,
how can anybody get in the team
that,
of the season over any of our back four with our defensive record? How can anybody? Next, you'll be trying to tell me Junior Firpo won't get in the team. Man, are you mad?
Anyway, moving on.
Right, let's actually, before we move on to some comments, let's take some of these. Any of you two got a pen to hand?
Would you believe I do?
I've not.
Utter no better predictions.
Brilliant. So first one to comment right from now. Can have this week's prediction from the fans. And we'll go in order. So I think it's myself first, isn't it, this week?
Yeah, it is.
Am I the highest of us three? Yeah, great.
I'm
going to go 3-1 leads.
Oh, I have a 3 wrote down for you there as well. Before you even said it. Jay, you're next then.
I considered that, but I'll go 3-0 leads.
What are the fans saying? Well, I'm above the
3-2,
fans.
They're propping you up, Carl.
No, I'm. Well,
just go the same as them, Carl, every week, and then you're not going to finish bottom.
No, true. I'm going to go 4-1 Leeds.
Oh, it's gone for a bold prediction.
4-1? What the
fuck? What one for the fans are we taking?
Steve Brown, 3-2. I think it was Steve Brown. There's that many Browns in here now. There's like Steve Brown, Johnny Brown. There's another Brown. Brown Johnson.
Brown Johnson.
Oh, Christ.
I'm going to call him that. I'm COD player
for that now, yeah.
That's his new COD name.
That's it, yeah, Brown Johnson.
Wicked. So that's the prediction for this week. We'll get Gillies and Smarties at some stage as well, and we'll update you when I'm top of the league, hopefully, next week.
11 Browns.
How's the shit take poll going?
Oh, the shit take poll, yeah, good question. Before we'll do that at the end. It's still going. So if you haven't voted, we've got nearly 50 votes on there now, and there are 84 of you in the house. And we've only got 34 likes, so smash a like, please, and vote on the poll, and subscribe. But before we do, we're going
to
fly.
If you're on X, jump on the YouTube to vote.
Yeah,
I was going to say, yeah.
Or even on Instagram, because we do go live on Instagram now a bit, but doesn't seem to work as well. Right, let's go through with a few of these comments, because they have been building up, and we've only started a handful of them tonight, so sorry, because we've been so engrossed in topical conversation. Andy Allow, if a draw to Dog Brothers is a slump, I'll take that all day. Yeah, I think Farker said something similar, didn't he? He said, look, you can't underestimate going there in the Yorkshire Derby and picking up a point in there. What is their cup final? And there's no other way to describe it. People hate the terminology about cup final, but that is what it is to them. It's their big day out. You look at their attendances all season, and they're all around about 20,000. They play Leeds and another 10% come. They had 22,500 there, do you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, yeah, we're over that now, I think, Andy. Steve Brown, speaking of the Browns, agree, Jay. All that matters at the moment is 3 points a game. Don't care how we get them.
Yeah. It was Jay talking about the Sheffield Wednesday game and how we were a bit...
correct, Amundo. Philip Anderson, and I've heard this more and more now. Now, this hasn't been a common comment I've heard all season. This hasn't been until recently, and people feeling good and confident about us winning the league is an you know, it's an absolute contrast to where we were when we're talking about that you know, that positioning in the league around Christmas time, and now just to get what I would say is, let's not get too engrossed within the league. The prime operative is, you know, the primary operative is to get promoted in it, and whether that's first or second, it'd be great to win the league, though. By the way, it would be fucking
that'd be lovely.
Imagine last day we've already gone up, and Southampton have to give us a guard of honor. Imagine, amazing. Especially with all the, you know, the Manning tweets at the start of the season when they signed him over us. And
yeah.
Who else did they get? They got somebody else, didn't they? That we wanted. Can you remember who that was?
Wait, Brooks. Or is that?
Yeah, they beat us to Brooks as well, didn't they?
Yeah,
that Brooks. Was more recent one.
David Brooks.
Yeah.
Matt says, since Bamford got the team, we have turned this all around. And I wouldn't True. Put it just down to Paddy Bamford, but I think look, we wax lyrical about what he does for the team, and actually people are recognizing that now. Whereas before, you know, that penalty at Stoke, people wanted to, you know, chuck him in the river and everything. Yeah, so
yeah.
I think it's more recognizing. But also there's been other changes as well. Obviously Stroik's dropped out of the team, unfortunately, with injury, and Ampadu moving into midfield, which has meant Gruev's got a start. So, you know, we've had Connor Roberts join the squad as well, so there's lots and lots of different differentials, shall we say, that probably have contributed.
Princess Downs, sorry, I've just knocked off what you were going to say. Is that the player we were thinking? I thought it was Brooks.
Flynn Downs, yes. Yeah, the midfield. A good player, by the way. I think he's on loan from City, is he?
Oh, he's only a young fella, isn't he?
Yeah. They ain't got him, though, have they?
No, he's on loan. Bryn Johnson, Palace under Dowie went from 18th to the playoffs, then won that. So that I think that's when we were talking about runnings and decent runs and that, yeah. Ash Ripper says the breaks come at a good time for us. Obviously... everybody else agreed with you and not me for a change, because that poll won quite comfortably, I think. Skip says, personally, I struggled to see how we could possibly drop Kamara or Gruev to allow Gray to start in the middle. Kamara is too good at breaking up opposition play, and Gruev is involved in everything. Excuse me, sorry, I just did a call.
That's not me.
What do we think of that? I mean, I think they both warranted the place, but obviously Gray does offer a different dynamic. Gray will shoot for one on the edge. He will take a shot. He's not saying to take a shot. But I think it's hard to argue that we change that winning midfield. You know, they do complement each other really well.
They do, yeah. Mm. They do. It's just, we want to see him back in there, don't we, and look a bit more dynamic than we do at times, maybe. But if they don't get dropped, they do get kept in the middle. No one's going to be gutted or anything, are they? It's not like we're going to be going mad and shouting at Farke, what are you doing? It's just a preference. We just want to see him back in there, don't we? But yeah, no one's going to be upset.
No, I think you're right. Sorry, Flynn Downs is from West Ham now, I've been told, I think. I don't know if it was City.
Fair enough.
Anyway, take the points off next season, Mark Wright saying, I think that's off Gilly. Now, this season, if there is any cheating,
we don't actually waste any time with stuff like that. We're pretty cutthroat.
No. Johnny is at Agent Alfie in attendance on Sunday. I have seen that he is, Alison. I've seen his latest Twitter post, and it's confirmed that Agent Alfie is in attendance and will be in the Ellen Road crowd. There we go.
He's going. He's going. Put your mortgage on it.
I did it again. Technical genius. I did that good while man. You weren't even watching.
Would you do that, Carl? No way.
You're becoming a valued part of the team, Carl.
Did you see how excited he was? I bloody did.
I bloody did.
I noticed it.
Paul Brennan. Joe Roden has been a revelation this season and wants to be Leeds United and gets what Leeds United is all about. I would argue that's the same for Conor Roberts as well. And I know you should never fall in love with loan players, given the recent Ben White saga and everything else, free Ben White and all that. But I feel very similar about these two players, more so probably about Rodon, because he's been here and contributed a lot more on the field, simply because he's been here a bit longer. But I do feel the same about Conor Roberts as well. I can't really lie.
You say about not falling in love with loan players. Could we feasibly see a loan player win player of the year this year or player of the season? Because I think we could.
No.
You don't think Rodon will get it? You think it'd be Archer? I think everyone's.
I don't think. I imagine winning it on loan, and then if we didn't sign him,
wouldn't sit right.
You know what I mean? I have seen rumors though, albeit from absolute shite sources, that he wants to stay, he loves it here, and everything else. But do you know Joe Rodon's brother, Sam Rodon, plays like lower league?
He comes
to all the games, and he's always taking videos and pictures with him.
He was in the hospital with him there last week.
That's right. So they're clearly loving it, aren't they? They're clearly loving it here.
Clearly. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Bit different to Weston McKennie and his mate.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a complete contrast.
About them cabbages, the better.
Complete contrast. Back to a couple of stars. Jay's not as daft as he looks. Yes, he is, Jammy. If
absolutely not
him in person, you'd know that. and Carl, the ball won't be in play long enough for your score prediction, 4-1. So, that's that. That's the stat comments. I'm just going to fly through. We've had a few while we've been doing that. Anything else worth noting? Leeds United Nation podcast says Somerville's player of the year so far for his numbers alone. I think he's gone a bit quiet, Somerville, recently. And I don't think that's through his fault. I've mentioned it a couple of times on BNC's and on Joe's podcast as well, on Joe Football Show, that it's actually the oppositions are wising up to our attacking threats, and they're trying to sort of overload Somerville and Rutter, which is making them look a little bit more, which in turn is making actually Paddy look a little bit more ineffective, because he's not getting into positions that he normally would when Rutter's running at defenders and stuff. So it would be a good conversation. Who would be, I think I asked this the other week actually, who, see you later, Roland Buttonubs, the boss is giving you the eye. Stay classy. Who would be your player of the year so far if you were to pick it now? Not young player, just straight up player of the year, Jay. Just who comes to your head first? One player.
Rutter.
Carl?
Probably Rutter as well.
Oh, really? I thought that'd be a bit controversial, but,
I don't think it's that controversial a thought. Like, since he's gone into the 10 role, he's absolutely demolished it. Like, I go Rutter.
Would you? I'd probably go Ampadu.
That's a good call. That's a nice thing. There's a few players who could lay claim to it.
Yeah.
And that's good to see. For me, it's Rutter. Just, I think a lot of it is because it's like his redemption arc, and it, how he turned up and everyone declared him useless and not good enough. And now he's integral to what we do.
Integral,
whatever. I'm having a brain fart.
Integral.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Don't know why I said
that. One more thing to do. Have we got anything in the brand, Carl?
Yep.
We have. Done. Great. And it's to wish a very happy birthday, not just to yourself yesterday, Jay, but there's a very special birthday for one of our team that could actually be in the running for player of the year, if you ask me. Do you want to pop it up, Carl, or do you want me to?
Oh, go on, Carl, right, I'll do it. Yeah, I'll do it.
You got. You got
happy birthday to Mr. Archie Gray, now longer a master. He's Mr. Archie Gray, and he's now legally allowed to get changed with the first team, which he'll be buzzing about. And
he can have a pint as well.
Can have a legal pint. It. I did tweet earlier. Can we just leave the blowout until end of the season on this occasion? He's an integral utensil player, Nick says.
Lads.
Just
imagine end of the season, we have another bus parade thing, they're all up there, and Archie's fucking pissed, and he's up there going, it'd be fucking ace. I'd love that.
Stage dive.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He'd have earned it.
Yeah, wicked. Well deserved. He does deserve a pint, but I am hoping that he'll be staying on the straight and narrow. I doubt we'll be seeing him turn into this guy anytime soon, unfortunately. But because he was a character. I keep watching videos on Gazzy, by the way. And it's something for I really hate what's happened to him. But Like, he was such a character. Oh, yeah. I've seen a story, actually. Let me just tell it. You've probably heard it, but about the physio. He used to get the physio to drive his car home so he could have a drink on the bus. And then he used to ring the police and tell the police that his car had been nicked and they'd be driving on the bus. They'd be driving on the bus down whatever road it was back to where the game, and they'd see that his car had been pulled over with a physio in it, and they'd be going like that to him out the window and that. But what a character. What a player.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. One more thing, Carl. I'm going to leave this to you. I will get the graphic up, and you can...
Christ. About to make the screen big then.
You can just give us a little bit of what's going on.
Good job. I bet he can't read that.
I can. I made my screen big just in time.
Are you on the phone again?
No.
Oh, okay.
Oh, you know. Anyway.
Take it away.
So, Andy's Man Club leads for the month of March, Friday 22nd. Pool night at Northern Snooker, starting at 6:30. We will be on the tables upstairs. We do ask for a small donation to the tables, but this is not essential. Sunday 24th. Barbecue at W2 Barbers on Easterly Road from 11 to 3. Come down, get your hair cut, have a chat with all the proceeds going to Andy's Man Club. More events in April. And just one more. We're doing our walk next Saturday week. So you could still donate. You can still reshare if you can't donate and all that. But we're doing the mural walk. There's everyone pretty much off the pod. Even Luke with his chocolate knee is coming. Or are you? Are you coming, Luke?
Where to?
Doing the charity walk.
No, mate, I'm not. I've just had another MRI on my knee, so I am. I'm ruled out on medical grounds, unfortunately. This one.
I'm glad you're paying attention.
Yeah, so am I. but yeah, so that's the crack. Get yourselves down to Andy's Man Club and. Hash it out with someone for a bit of crack because, you know, don't bottle it up. It's worse.
That's it. Yeah. Just get yourself out there.
It's always good to talk. Never be alone. So that's pretty much the end of this week's show. We will probably be back either Sunday after the game, depending who's on, or Monday for a Brady and Coke after Millwall. And then we might have a week or so off, actually, because we've got obviously the international break. Anything else to say, lads? Anybody got any... Oh, no, bitters. Anything else I'd like to add?
What about the poll result? Come on.
Oh, the poll result. That's not a bad shout. We can do that. I'll end the poll there. And the winner was Wendy's fans with 48%.
Impressive.
That's fair. Rodon Hater got 31%. And then the Tyler Perlo Adams was 20%. So, yeah, everyone hates the Wendy's fans.
Great stuff.
Thanks, everybody, as ever, for joining. Go on, Carl.
Just one more thing. Anyone... who's watching on X, get over to YouTube if you like what you're watching. Give us a follow, a share, and hit the subscribe button and the bell thing. We don't do the fancy graphics because Gilly's not on tonight, to be fair. Like, So, get over there, give us a follow. Nice one for joining us.
That's it.
Yeah,
that's
thanks it. Again, everyone. Thanks for all your comments, as ever. Do share, do like, do subscribe, and all that jazz. Not a lot else to see. We'll probably see you, those of you on Sunday who are going. And if not, we'll see you back here Monday or Tuesday for BNC. Cheers, everybody.
Bye bye.
Night.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers.
With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Thank you for listening to another Otto Know Better podcast, the Independent League United podcast. You can engage with us via our socials on YouTube and Twitter at the address @OttoKnowBetter with your thoughts on the show or subjects you'd like us to discuss. You can even join us live and have your say while we're recording on our YouTube channel for the main weekly show and the Berardi and Coke aftermatch podcasts. We've 3 years' worth of content you can listen back to, from interviews with former Leeds players and managers to Hollywood stars. Maybe choose carefully which match reviews to check out, though. Remember to subscribe on whichever app you choose to follow us on.